Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning. I hope you're having a great morning. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. This is Real Truth for Today. I want to share with you 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. It's a verse that we refer to often on Real Truth for Today because it is so appropriate. It says this, "Of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do." Their chiefs were 200. The sons of Issachar were singled out as this is what is significant about these guys. They understand what's going on. They understand the times. They are in tune with the situation that is swirling around them, with what's going on in culture, with what's going on in the world. That word understand means to discern, to consider, to perceive. And it is incumbent upon us to learn from those guys that, hey, we need, as Christians on the earth for such a time as this, we need to understand the times in which we're living. We need to be in tune with what is going on in the culture, with what people are talking about and what people are wrestling with and where the fight is. You know, when the enemy comes to attack a certain part of the city, it's important for the response to be in that part of the city, that part of the wall. And so we are watchmen on the wall, as it says in the book of Ezekiel. And so if you're unaware of where the attack is coming, and you're protecting this part of the wall, and the enemy's coming at another part of the wall, well, you're not doing a very good job. So we need to understand the times with knowledge of what we should do. So understand and know what we should do. Now, to help us with this discussion today, I'm titling this program, The State of the Union, with my friend Dr. Rick Scarborough. And Rick is on the program with us. He's a pastor, he's an author, he's a speaker and a political activist, and the president of Recover America. He has a brand new book out called America in the Balance: American Dream versus Woke Nightmare. Rick, thanks for being on the program today.
Well, it certainly is my pleasure, Pastor. I appreciate the invitation.
Hey, I love, Rick, I got to say, I love your subtitle in the book, American Dream versus Woke Nightmare. That's really kind of what we're looking at today, isn't it?
Exactly. I have a co-author on this book, Steve DeZell. And we couldn't find a more concise subtitle, because that's where America is right now.
Okay, so Rick, if you were going to kind of flesh that out a little bit, what is the American dream and what is the woke nightmare?
The American dream, created by our founders and endowed by our Lord, obviously I should probably reverse that. It was our Lord that gave them the brilliance to understand it. They create a system where any man at any station in life, if he lived right and did the right things, could prosper. And that's the American dream. People from all over the world have come to this country because, unlike other countries and other political systems, they couldn't rise. They couldn't accumulate wealth. But in America, you can. That's the dream. Every man is on an equal playing field if he's willing to work. But the woke nightmare is a socialist nightmare, in effect, in which you're locked in, and what you can accomplish or do is dictated by the lords over you, an elite group of people from around the world who believe they know what's best for you, and ultimately tyranny is a result.
Yeah, well, it's a disaster, and we're reaping what we've sown. Rick, I was thinking about, yes, you know, years ago, I guess it's been 20-plus years ago, you wrote the book Enough is Enough, and that really kind of catapulted you into political activism, so to speak, and really getting pastors involved to, hey, wake up to see what is going on. We need to understand the times and what Israel should do. But now we are 20-plus years from that book, and it seems to be worse than ever. So what would be the difference between Enough is Enough and this book, America in the Balance?
Well, Enough is Enough was written actually in 1996 in the first version and then rewritten at the request of a publishing company in 2008. But there was hope and there was promise. The country had not bought into to the woke nightmare at that point in time. In fact, in 1990, or I should say going back to 1960 when John F. Kennedy ran for president, you could take that that Democratic platform and Republicans could run on it. But over time, there was a shift, and I make a distinction between the left and liberalism, the left being a committed army of people growing in number who are committed to a world government and the end of America as we know it. So I think what has dramatically shifted is that there is an effort now, and many people in this country are involved in it, but it extends beyond our country, to destroy the uniqueness of America and to mesh it into a world government. And if that's not stopped, America will end and freedom will perish.
That I think you're exactly right on that, Rick. So we're talking to Rick Scarborough. The brand new book is called America in the Balance, American Dream versus Woke Nightmare. Now, Rick, I preached Sunday about the world, the Christian in the world, and how as a Christian we're in the world, we're not of the world. But the world lies in the lap and in the power and in the influence of the evil one, and he is pushing everything toward this one world government. Obviously, God is sovereign. He is allowing that to happen because Antichrist is going to rule a one world government. So, Rick, what would you say to the pastor that says, you know, I don't want to get political and things are going to happen the way they happen, and so I'm just gonna preach and you know, lift up the cross and point people to Jesus and really not get involved in that?
Pastor, I'm going to be gentle in my response, less gentle than I am in my public appearances, in the hope of finding that that remnant of pastors who have not yet completely given over. I would say to them, be faithful, be true, and be bold. Satan is a He literally has captivated the mind of many of our preachers who want to be popular. If I say to preachers in my preaching, if you want to be popular, you chose the wrong profession. There's not a preacher in the Old Testament or New Testament that was popular among the masses. But, you know, and I think you'll agree with this, the church growth movement that came out of a seminary over in California back in the 60s and 70s, began teaching how to the mechanics of how to grow a church. Mm-hmm. And they forgot the fact that Jesus said, whenever Peter confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, Peter, you didn't think that up on your own. That was a revelation from God. And upon that rock, I will build my church. The preacher's role is to preach that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it's God's role to build the church. But when we turn it into a science, and pastors began to study the how-tos and what to avoid and what not to avoid, they left the gospel, in effect, and they became hirelings. And we've got a world full of hirelings out there that make a good salary and a good living off of making people feel comfortable. We need more and more men like you. I pick up your sermon often when I'm traveling, and sometimes by design, and I've never heard you fail to make that point. I look forward to getting the message you preach Sunday, because that kind of preaching is our hope, and that's what we're trying to do through Recover America, is find those preachers who are standing firm on God's truth and not man's truth.
Well, I appreciate that, Rick. So what do you say to the pastor that kind of buries his head in the sand and just says, well, you know, I just don't want to stir up the waters. Everything's kind of peaceful, and I don't, like, for instance, one lady told me, well, my pastor won't even talk about the issue going on with Israel and Hamas because he says it's controversial. And I admire you, Rick, because you're very controversial, and that's what a pastor is supposed to be. The Apostle Paul upset the world with his preaching, and so we're supposed to do that as we lift up the name of Jesus and preach the truth. But what would you say to those, that swath of clergy and laity that just says, you know, let's just go along to get along, and we don't want to stir up trouble?
Well, I would say this to the laity. go to your pastor and share your heart, and do so in complete humility. Offer to be part of the solution. Offer to create in the church, if he'll allow it to be created, basically a salt and light council, a group that brings these issues to bear and presents them with the issues that need to be addressed. But if your pastor won't respond after numerous attempts and a lot of prayer to preaching the unvarnished truth about these issues, and by the way, they are not political issues. They are all moral issues.
Yes.
Abortion is a moral issue. Child trafficking is a moral issue. What is happening right now between Hamas and Israel is a moral issue. If he's not willing to preach on these issues, then find yourself a new church, a pastor mm-hmm. who will. Quit Amen. Funding these men. If you want to make a change and the pastor won't change, then make a change of churches, because God has his remnant. There are men of God out there who can. And one thing that the left did when they shut down the church, and we allowed that to happen, by the way, is that people went online and found out there were people preaching the truth. And a lot of people are flocking to those mm-hmm. online churches where the truth is preached, if there's not one where they live. But my word is, don't support these men who will not preach the unvarnished truth about these moral issues that are not, that just happen to have political overtones, but they're actually moral issues.
Rick, let me ask you this. You know, when we look at President Biden and the things that he does, and obviously, I mean, nobody can honestly say the guy's not mentally impaired. I mean, he has trouble reading a prompter and completing a sentence. He didn't used to be like that. You know, back up 30, 40 years, he could complete a sentence. Here's the question. Do you think he's just that inept, or is this a calculated plan to destroy the country?
In my book, we address that, to be honest, and I make the statement, I'm not going to assess his competency level. I'm not going to assess whether or not he's suffering from dementia or some other kind of degrading mental issue. But I will say this. He's one of the most successful presidents we've ever had in doing what he said he would do. You go back to his inaugural remarks and the things he did in his first day in office. He set on a course to destroy this country, and he is systematically doing that from the withdrawal in Afghanistan, where we left $86 billion of state-of-the-art equipment in the hands of terrorists. Mm. We betrayed every one of those who had assisted our forces in eradicating terrorism from that nation until we suddenly just withdrew without plan or even thought of a course of action, what would result. His own general said what could potentially happen. He ignored them. I think that this man is bent on a course of destroying America as a sovereign nation so the world government can be ushered in, which he, among others, have been planning and looking toward for decades, several decades at least.
Rick, your personal opinion, how involved is Barack Obama in the administration right now?
He's the puppeteer, in my opinion. He's a brilliant man, an incredible communicator, and I believe that he's literally pulling the strings.
Yeah, I think that too. I don't think Joe Biden knows what he's doing. He just reads what they write, and he doesn't do that very well. So, we're talking to Dr. Rick Scarborough, and he is pastor, author, speaker, and political activist, president of Recover America. His brand new book is called America in the Balance, American Dream versus Woke Nightmare. And Rick, we're up against a break, but when we come back, we want to talk about the divided states of America and the seven issues that you list in your book that divide us, because we are truly a divided republic. And we have people that really do, they bought into an ideology that is going to destroy the United States of America. And it is sad. We need to know, like the sons of Issachar, understand the times and what we should do. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Don't go away. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my friend Dr. Rick Scarborough, pastor, author, speaker, and political activist, president of Recover America. His brand new book is called America in the Balance, American Dream versus Woke Nightmare. Okay, so Rick, in the book, you talk about the seven issues that divide us, and I think you would agree that we are currently the divided states of America and not the United States of America. It used to be back not all that long ago where we would have the election, and whoever became president, everybody got behind that person because there was a basic sense of morality and honesty and integrity. All that is gone. And the two sides are so divided. There's no, what fellowship has light with darkness. Talk about those seven issues that divide us.
Well, we list race and poverty, and the way that race and poverty is addressed by the two competing parties, the major parties in our country. We give a new perspective on that. The baseline for every American is poverty. But the way you get out of poverty is you get a high school education, you stay married, you work hard, go to work every day, no matter what the level of pay is. And if you do some basic things, you'll rise from poverty to prosperity. And but the left, they use race as a bludgeon. They use it as a political tool to exploit. They're committed to causing the races and poverty that so often accompanies the races as a tool to gain votes, make promises that are never fulfilled. So that's number one. Climate change, truth or Trojan horse, is a dividing line for mm-hmm. Americans. The fight for life, this whole matter of abortion, and the way we treat life at the back end with euthanasia being a dividing point. There's nothing gay about homosexuality is a chapter. We believe homosexuality is just straight out sin, and yes. It's not gay. We believe that this whole drag queen and gender mutilation, we call it puppies and dolls to drag queen and gender mutilation. The next one is the battle for the classroom, and we lay out what's happening right now in our classrooms, the sexualization of our children. Convincing them nothing is right, there's no rights, no wrongs, that everything's on an equal playing station, which destroys children. And then finally, the way we handle crime and justice. Wrong is never right. So we list these. There are many more, but these are the ones we focus on in the book.
Okay, so Rick, you have grandkids, correct?
I do, one great-grandchild.
Okay, so do your grandkids go to public school?
They do not. They're in a strong and great high school where they're being taught. None of our grandchildren spent their whole educational process. Some back 20 years ago entered public schools, but finally they all have wound up in strong Christian schools with our backing and our help.
You know, here in Texarkana, we have good, still strong schools. We don't have the drag queen story hour and that kind of thing. But, you know, a lot of parents that are listening, they don't live in those places. What would be your counsel to them if the school is starting to go off the rails?
At the very minimum, I would encourage all of them to get informed and look into homeschooling. God never called the government to educate our kids. There was a time back when the country was almost completely a God-fearing country, and largely evangelized, and people attended churches where pastors were faithful, and the outgrowth of that was giving the government the right under the oversight of the pastors and the people to educate our children. And it worked very well. Our country prospered. But when John Dewey came, who is now known as the father of education, he came during a period of our history where everything seemed to go off the rails at the same time. And he didn't believe in God. He sowed lies into our educational system. He moved from the basic approach to education being, you know, truth and facts introduced to our kids, to an outcome-based education. And the outcomes were not the outcomes that our founding fathers laid in place. And so I say to those who are outside strong public schools where they're still engaged and involved, to look at homeschooling first. Our churches, most of them are empty, 6 days a week. They become great places to house education. Every church I pastored three in my, before I became an activist and was an evangelist before that. But each church I pastored, we started pre-K all the way through the eighth grade. At the ninth grade level, things get complicated, a lot more expensive. But you can do the first eight grades relatively inexpensively and use those church houses as a place to make sure your kids are taught the truth.
Amen. We've been reading, Rick, in staff meeting, a brand new book by George Barna, and he makes the statement in the book that the research shows that a kid's worldview is set by the time that they are 13 years of age. So that's about the time that they're going to be getting ready to go to high school, and so those first through eighth grade years are really critical.
Well, our Catholic friends have long known that. They knew that if they had the child for a couple of years, they had him for life. And so it was based on the same premise. And I might say that they pioneered non-government education for most of the history of our nation. Now we evangelicals need to be involved in that and make sure that we get our kids safely through that indoctrination period where their lives are forever shaped. By the way, that's not irreversible, but it makes it much more difficult for them.
Right, it really does. Okay, let's talk, Rick. I know you were in Texarkana when Trump ran in 2020. And I love a statement that you made because, you know, as pastors, we had trouble with Trump. Because we like what he did, we didn't like what he said, and so much of the time when he would speak, when he would go on Twitter, now X, it would just be cringeworthy. And so you made the statement, well, we like what he does, we don't like what he says. And he did follow through on a lot of the, when he said he was going to put conservatives on the Supreme Court, he did that. When he said they were going to be pro-life, he did that. When he said he was going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, he did that. So he followed through on many of his campaign promises. What is your opinion of him in 2024?
Well, I hold the same position, but I'm stronger pro-Trump now than I've ever been. Now, I will ask God when I meet him why a guy like DeSantis couldn't get traction, because, you know, he had the history, he had a proven record in the state of Florida, and I would have supported DeSantis if I'd had a chance to vote for him. When he dropped out of the race, I became 100% behind Trump. You may or may not recall, our ministry co-sponsored along with Tony Perkins' organization out of Washington, D.C. We co-sponsored a meeting of 1,000 evangelicals in New York in the 2016 election, or just before the election.
Right.
And in that setting, Trump, he was the most kind and gentle, and he was the perfect example of what a president in behavior and demeanor should be. He answered questions. He answered them truthfully. He followed through on those. And I'll forever honor and appreciate him for that. He still has that bombastic nature. It seems to be a little more under control. I wish he'd get it completely under control, because he creates enemies that he doesn't need.
Right.
But in terms of that old adage I was raised under, actions speak louder than words. I am 100% behind Donald Trump to be president of the United States. I believe if he's elected, I believe we'll see a lot of changes in this country.
Okay, let me ask you this, Rick, because this is a concern of mine and many, many more. How it doesn't seem like we have election integrity. There are too many voting on a computer. It seems like it's too easy to make that, you know, spit out the number you want it to spit out. It seems like we need to go, in my opinion, we need to go back to paper ballots, in-person voting, and everything, you have to show your ID, everything can be tracked, and to make sure that this is true, this is right, and this was done fairly and legally. What do you say about that?
Well, I think you're exactly right, and I will point out, Trump's made that a part of his campaign promise if he gets elected. Now, the question you raised, getting him elected, that's one of the biggest obstacles I face traveling from place to place, is committed Christians are saying to me, why vote? It doesn't matter. Well, we've got to, people are working night and day to rectify that. Churches like Second Baptist Church of Houston is raising up an army of poll watchers, and that's what every faithful church needs to do. We need to put people in place that watch those the voting, track the trail of the computers, to hold them so honest that they can't cheat, or if they do cheat, they're likely to get caught. If Trump gets elected and it's revealed that people did cheat, if we overwhelm the system, which we Christians could do if we vote, then that will be fixed. But it certainly is an issue, and one that all of us need to devote time, energy, and effort into preventing in this election cycle.
Okay, Rick, so we talk about the sons of Issachar. They understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. So when we think about in America, so we want to understand the times, but we want to know what to do. So in your book, you talk about what to do. What would that be for us?
Well, the road renewal is Christian involvement. You know, we're still in presidential elections. I think the mark is somewhere near 50% of eligible Christians are voting, but you get down in off-year elections and it drops in the teens and below in school board elections. We're derelict. We're sinful. I tell people it is a sin for a Christian not to vote. And they immediately say, well, what's the verse for that? Well, the verse is in James. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. So the road to renewal is for the church to reengage. I believe that all of this has eschatological implications but the correct me if I'm saying that wrong, and I know I am, but I can't get it straight. But in time, prophecies predict a lot of things that we're seeing happening right now, but that's become an impediment for some Christians to get involved. Because they actually say to me, well, I want it to get worse because that means Jesus is coming. Mm-hmm. But, Pastor Jeff, that's a westernized view. If you go to Iran and you go to the Middle East, Christians there believe they're living in the tribulation. They're having their heads cut off. It's only in America where we are still basically exempt from straight-out persecution. There's some persecution already happening here now, but it's mostly psychological or less painful kind of persecutions, like being removed from Twitter or whatever. We're not right. suffering. We're still protected. But to believe that the gospel was only written to the American church is a straight-out misunderstanding, and I think an ignorant misunderstanding of the Bible. We are to occupy till Jesus comes. And so no matter how bad it seems, our road to recovery is simply in getting the church engaged and back on the firing line, running Christians for office, showing up for school board elections, which is the entry level for politicians. We need to totally, once again, at 100% rate, engage. The largest voting bloc in America is the church, if she engages.
Amen. Well, Rick, we know, you and I both know, that the Lord is coming, and that, you know, my eschatology, there's the rapture of the church. Then after that, there will be the revealing of the Antichrist. We're not going to know who the Antichrist is, although the devil has him waiting in the wings. He has to always have an Antichrist ready to go because he doesn't know the date of the Lord's return. When you think about it in those terms, some Christians could say, well, it doesn't matter. Eventually, all this stuff, as Robert Jeffress said, you know, we're putting our fingers in the dike. Eventually, the dike is going to break. So what's the point? How would you respond to that?
The point is, Jesus made it very clear to us that we weren't to have an escapist mentality. By example, he entered a world that he knew he would be crucified in, but he came to be obedient to the Father. Obedience to the Father is for us to advance the gospel, to be public witnesses, to rebuke that which is wrong, to stand with God against evil, and stealing elections, removing the foundation pillars of our government that gave us free speech and freedom of religion. To just watch that disintegrate is a sin against the Holy God. It's antithetical to the example of Jesus.
Amen. Well, Rick, where can people get a copy of the book, America in the Balance?
They can come to our website, which is recoveramerica.com, or they can go to Amazon and secure a copy. But I think I wrote it as a handbook for this election. And so if Christians want to get articulate in the issues, if they want to know how to rectify this, this is the book written for that reason, and I pray that millions are sold.
Amen. Well, we're talking to Dr. Rick Scarborough. When we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question for Dr. Rick Scarborough, he'd love to answer those for you and address those for you. So we're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about the State of the Union with Dr. Rick Scarborough, pastor, author, speaker, and political activist, president of Recover America, and the author of the brand new book, America in the Balance, American Dream versus Woke Nightmare. Rick, let's talk a little bit about the woke nightmare, because, you know, as we look at the news every single day, we see diversity, equity, and inclusion, and companies saying, hey, we're gonna go this route. You know, United Airlines and their president, Rick, whatever his name is, they you've probably seen the video of him performing as a drag queen for his employees, how they want to have more people of color in the cockpits. That just seems ludicrous. Why would anyone choose the woke nightmare? Rick, are you still there? Uh-oh, we lost
I'm
Rick.
I'm sorry, I had it on mute. I forgot to turn it off, and I apologize for that.
Go ahead.
The continual indoctrination through the media, our educational systems, drilling into the minds of Americans that this that whites have had the advantage all through these years, and now we've got to do whatever we can to equalize the playing field. The whole attitude of a meritocracy where the best and brightest are chosen is being forsaken, and the net effect is we've got doors blowing out of airplanes, and we've got incompetence at the head of the most prestigious university in America. This woke philosophy that the left and the intellectuals of our country has so embraced and passed on through the educational system of the elite universities and even the not so elite universities is part of the overall strategy of Satan and of those who meet in places like Davos once a year to create a one world government. America's got to be collapsed. Mm-hmm. You know, attempts at communism failed historically because even the lower classes recognized they could become the upper class through hard work and vigilance. But now there's this effort to equalize everyone is an effort to bring America down so she can be destroyed. And that's the essence, I believe, of the whole strategy of this wokeism that's increasingly engulfing our land. It's got to be confronted, and it's got to be removed. We got to get back to the finding the brightest and the best. And, you know, even Martin Luther King advocated that we choose one another by our character, not the color of our skin. That's the real America that we fight and live for.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this, Rick, but somebody put this on X, which used to be called Twitter, talking about Martin Luther King's dream, you know, that my children will be judged on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And they talked about Claudine Gay, the president of Harvard, who had to resign in shame, said she was hired because of the color of her skin, and she had to resign because of the content of her character. We are so upside down in the way it used to be, and Martin Luther King's dream is a good dream, that we don't see color, we see people's character, and we judge accordingly. But that is totally upside down today. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question for Dr. Scarborough, give us a call. And we have Ken on the line from Houston. Ken, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you for hearing me. I wanted to share this at a meeting with Ted Cruz last night, but we didn't have time to get to it. But I have a friend who's on a school board, and one day I asked him, I said, why don't we be completely transparent? And when a parent comes to sign their kid up to go to the school, let's tell them what worldview that child will be taught, what is a human being, why are they here, how'd they get here, and put some questions together. And I said, if you would then tell what worldview you're going to teach, the parent would know, and we would be transparent and have integrity in the matter. And last night I wanted to tell Ted Cruz that we ought to demand this from every politician. What is your worldview? And start a international conversation with people seeing these questions being posed. So I'm asking, is that a good idea, do you think? And let's do it, in my opinion.
All right, Rick, what would you say to that?
Well, transparency is always good. I mean, let's be truthful. When I spent 2 years in Washington, D.C., teaching Bible study, members of Congress, the State Department, had the privilege of discipling the president of the World Bank for a season and also two commanders in the Pentagon. It was an exhilarating experience. I'd have done it till I died. But you know what brought me back to Texas? Board members who called me up and said, Rick, you ought to see what's going on in the public school system in the pre-K through the sixth grade in Houston ISD, Sci-Fair ISD, the two largest school systems in Texas, 300 plus thousand students between them. I came and went to libraries and pulled books off shelves. There were absolutely filthy pornography. I would have been, had I taken a book like that and showed it to a child, I likely would have been arrested. But because it was done in the public school under the safeguards of rules that govern, and the fact that they were cartoons rather than actual pictures, made them perfectly legal and acceptable, and our children were reading them by the thousands. We got pastors together. We showed them what was happening. We united, and we began removing these school board members that were allowing this. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to engage at the lowest level, every level, because the left has understood how much they can accomplish before we're even aware of it in the minds of these children.
Well, the famous quote from Edmund Burke, "All that is required for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." And Rick, I think you'd agree. We've had too many good men do nothing for a long time. Exactly. We just kind of don't realize, we don't, going back to the scripture about the sons of Issachar, we don't understand the times. We don't know what's going on. We just assume everybody is good and fine and right and wanting to be honest and wanting to do what is right. But they don't. And we have to wake up to that fact.
The left is a minority, but they're winning because the majority is sitting on the sidelines watching Netflix.
Yes. Well, and so you've spent a good portion of your life going around different churches, different groups, and sounding the alarm. And so let me ask you this. How has that translated into moving the ball down the field? Because I could see that being discouraging, although you don't get you stay encouraged, but that could be a discouraging thing.
It is. It was one reason I went to Washington for a couple of years to just teach Bible studies is because I got so worn down from the battle. But that was a period and a season in my life when God began to reawaken this determination to face the enemy till we either win, succeed, or we die. Now, Jeff, here's the good news. I'm Pastor Jeff. Forgive me.
Oh, that's all right.
I have profound respect for you as a man of God.
Thank
but
you.
The good news is I am seeing an awakening right now. I'm seeing a sophistication in our battles. We recently, as a ministry, joined lockstep with five or six other major ministries, including Turning Point USA, Patriot Academy, which has conducted over 1,000 schools around America. These are 8-hour educational schools where people are reacquainted with what our Constitution actually says and the rights we have as American citizens. People like the pastors' conferences that are conducted by Paul Blair all over the country, which I'm a keynote speaker at all of them. And then most importantly, Citizens Defending Freedom, which came out of Florida, that's gaining nationwide attention as they are recruiting and training volunteers. And we're now working together with our various strategies in a group called the Remnant Alliance. I'd love to offline tell you more about it, but anybody can go online and look up Remnant Alliance. It's either .com or .org, one or the other. I'm not sure. But you can Google Remnant Alliance. And this is an organization that has employed top-notch lawyers. They practice Matthew 18, where they find there's a breach, either by a district attorney or by a school board, in breaking the law. They go in person and say, hey, this has got to be corrected. If they will not correct it, we bring in the lawyers. And our lawyers can stand toe-to-toe to ACLU. They never lose. We've removed in Nueces County just recently the DA that was connected to Hell's Angels, the Bandidos in South Texas. They were the law group that stood beside Governor DeSantis when Disney backed down from their jab mandate. These are qualified, gifted, high-paid attorneys that we've employed. And we're trying now to fight back on an equal playing ground instead of just showing up at the polls. We show up after the polls, and we're looking for people to join this effort to change America.
Mm. Well, you know, Donald Trump had talked about in 2016, you know, drain the swamp, drain the swamp, drain the swamp. It's hard to say 10 times fast. But the swamp is much, much deeper than any of us realized. It seems like we have so much corruption in our government. It's like the whole thing is just rotten from top to bottom. Weigh in on that, Rick.
Well, there is no doubt that that's the case. But we've got to quit wishing it gets better. We've got to do more than pray. Pray and act. That's what we're commanded to do in the Scripture. And that's what Remnant Alliance is attempting to do, and that's what churches must do, and each individual. You know, ask me the question, what each person should do. May I answer that question?
Yes. What should each person do, Dr. Rick?
They should do what they can, where they can, when they can, as long as they can, as well as they can. And at the end of that, start over. I mean, everybody has a role to play. And yes, everybody can't do what I'm doing or what you're doing, but they can do something.
Right.
And so, again, do what you can, where you can, when you can, as long as you can, as often as you can, as well as you can. And if everybody does that, we'll see America change.
Well, I mean, just something as seemingly simple as going to vote, understanding the issues and voting. I shared Sunday,
yes, sir,
Rick, and I know you'd resonate with this. I said, listen, just the issue of abortion. Do not ever vote for a candidate who is pro-abortion. Just on that one issue alone, don't do it. You vote for candidates that are going to stand for life. And if people make fun of you and say, well, you're just a one-issue voter, that one issue outshines everything else, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a core issue because how a person votes on life will teach you or tell you how they're going to vote on a number of other issues that are not as important, but their philosophy is flawed if they will vote for death.
Well, it's exactly right. And, you know, we had the big overturning of Roe v. Wade, but that doesn't mean the battle for life is over.
Right.
And so, Rick, I know you have a chapter in the book about that. So how do people still engage in that issue when we say, well, Roe v. Wade is over, so I guess we won that battle?
They continue to speak out, continue to march on occasion, continue to write legislators, and when the issue comes alive in your state, be there ready to fight it. Ohio is a relatively conservative state, but the Christians, after the issue they thought was solved at the Supreme Court level, they went to sleep. And suddenly abortion was legal on demand once again in the state of Ohio. Every state in the Union, all the Christians must continue to fight this battle, be willing to stand on the front line, and live for the day when once again America stands for life from birth to the grave, which means God is in control and God's laws are being honored.
We just have about a minute left, Rick. So the book is called America in the Balance, The American Dream versus Woke Nightmare. Tell us again where we can get that.
At our website, which is recoveramerica.com. And then just query for the book, or you can go directly to Amazon, have it delivered tomorrow.
And it prepares people for the election in 2024, correct?
That's why it was written, yes, sir.
All right. Well, Dr. Rick Scarborough has been my guest. Rick, thank you so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. And when you're in Texarkana, let me know so we can get together, and I'll look forward to that. Well, thank you, Ken, for calling in today, and thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It is a joy and a privilege to get to speak with you every morning. And we always end the program with these two words, shine and share. Go out and shine for Christ. That's how you live, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.